Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, I am Celeste Headlee, and instead of John Hockenberry, who's out today, I'm joined by Miles O'Brien.
It's a pleasure to be here. Good to meet you in person.
Absolutely, as instead of orally alone. But let's talk about Chris Matthews for just a moment. MSNBC anchor Chris Matthews caused a little bit of a stir when he talked about the president's skin color after the State of the Union, and let's let him speak for himself. This is what he had to say in his attempt to say that race was not on his mind.
He is post-racial, by all appearances. I forgot he was black tonight for an hour.
Okay, the second half of that statement is what got him in trouble. But the first part is what I'm interested in. The idea of post-racial, what does that mean? To talk about this, we're joined by Boyce Watkins. He's a professor at Syracuse University and founder of Your Black World Coalition. Good morning, Boyce.
Good morning.
And welcome again, Gustavo Arellano. He writes the syndicated column, Ask a Mexican.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. Boyce, let's start with you. I should mention first and foremost that you also work sometimes as a contributor for MSNBC. That's the same network that employs Chris Matthews. So what was your reaction when you heard Chris Matthews' comments?
Well, when he said, I almost forgot that he was a black man, as a black man, which I've been for quite a while now, I said to myself, well, what if you had remembered that he was a black man? Would that mean that his speech would have been less effective? Does that mean that that we haven't achieved certain victories in America? Does that mean that the president should be embarrassed? Does that mean that all the non-black people should run for the door? I really didn't understand what to make of Chris's statements. And even though he works with MSNBC like I do, and I knew I'd get in big trouble for talking about him too much, I had to really ask those questions. And I think Chris answered them effectively on some level, but at the same time, this idea of a post-racial America was a little bit problematic to me, as it always has been.
Okay, so Gustavo, you know, a lot of times people say that the discussion over race is hampered by the fact that people don't say what's really on their minds. Should Gustavo, do you think Chris Matthews should have edited himself?
No, I think people should always say whatever's on their mind. That said, what was on his mind was absolutely ridiculous. And the more I hear it, the more I think about it, the more sillier it is. Almost forgot. What reminded him that President Obama was a black man? Was it the color of his skin? Was it some, you know, the way he talked? As Orrin Hatch said, did he not talk enough like a Negro or whatever? It's such a silly statement. I'm at a loss of words for once.
Well, you know, we are kind of used to Chris Matthews saying at least borderline silly things, but let's take apart his use of the phrase post-racial. I'm interested in that because we're hearing it a lot, and we have been hearing it since Barack Obama became a serious candidate for president. Boyce, you know, I helped to host an event that WNYC held at the Brooklyn Museum in New York for Martin Luther King Day, and there was a large panel of scholars and thinkers talking about race, and I asked the question whether we live in a post-racial society. Here is the response from Professor Eddie Glaude of Princeton.
It's a lazy term.
Yeah.
And I think it's a term that's reflective of a sincere confusion. Something has happened, and we don't quite know how to describe it yet. So part of what I see it as is just simply a typical American effort to wrap their minds around complex matters very quickly with easy tropes.
Boyce, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Professor Glaude. I think that when you talk about a post-racial America, nobody really knows exactly what that looks like. Does a post-racial America mean that we forget that everybody's black, that blackness just sort of melts into this watered-down melting pot of assimilation and it doesn't mean anything anymore? Well, if that's what a post-racial America means, I don't really want to be a part of that. I think that being black is a beautiful thing. My concern is that I want to simply see blackness become respected. I don't want to see Obama or anybody else get elected because they're light-skinned, they don't speak with Negro dialect, as Harry Reid said, or because they are clean-cut and articulate, or the first, you know, as Joe Biden said last year. I don't want to hear people get elected in spite of the fact that they're black. I want it to be okay for someone to be black and for everyone to not simply, run off in fear because a black man is trying to be in a position of power. Because to some extent, I mean, at the end of the day, we are Americans as well. And so, this idea that one election can create an entire post-racial society and immediately erase 400 100 years of training in terms of treating one group of people as if they are the subordinate in the American family. That's not going to go away with one election, two elections, or 100 elections. We've got to do the hard work to fulfill Dr. King's dream.
Okay, Boyce Watkins, professor at Syracuse University. So Gustavo Arellano, you write the column Ask a Mexican, and clearly when they say post-racial, they must be referring to lots of different races, including Hispanic. Do you think we are post-racial?
Post-racial is one of those words like proactive and zeitgeist that people who aren't smart try to use to make themselves appear to be intellectual. Post-racial is a hollow term. Obviously, as the professor was talking about, there's no way on earth that we could live in a post-racial society given the history of the United States. Not just one group at the bottom of the totem pole. There's a lot of groups at the bottom of the totem poles, and there always will be. And we do have to I think we've actually progressed pretty well as a society given our horrible legacy of racial antagonism to the point where we're at today, but the election of one person or 10 people or nominations of God knows how many ethnic minorities to important positions in the United States, that doesn't mean that everything's now going to be hunky-dory. I don't think it ever will be, just given the human condition that insists that we have to classify people according to certain terms, and then once you're not the same like someone else, there's probably going to be antagonisms there. Although I would say here in this country, compared to others, it's getting more and more benign, those antagonisms.
Okay, that's Gustavo Arellano. He writes the syndicated column Ask a Mexican. Boyce Watkins, somebody wrote on our website, a listener wrote, being African-American, I couldn't care less about what Chris Matthews said, but this seems as if it's a discussion Caucasians have to overcome. Is there a different discussion or level of measure between what is a point of discussion about race for whites as opposed to people with brown skin?
Well, I think that people with brown skin or anybody who's not white, we need to all get together and have that conversation as a family. That's why I created the conversationonrace.com, because I wanted to promote a national conversation on race. When I talk to Reverend Al Sharpton every single week, that's one of the things that we constantly bring up, is that people do not want to talk about race in an honest and open fashion. So you must give Chris Matthews credit for at least being honest. But at the same time, once he's been honest, the question is, what now? Do we just sweep it under the rug, or do we analyze? I say we analyze, and I say we get to the heart of this issue.
Okay, that's Boyce Watkins, professor at Syracuse University and founder of Your Black World Coalition. We also heard from Gustavo Arellano of the syndicated column Ask a Mexican. We have a lot of comments from listeners, and I imagine a lot of you have thoughts on this issue. We want to hear them. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.